Hello, Radio 1.
Smith?
Lewis Smith, yes.
Yes, it's head of everything at the BBC here.
Oh.
Look, a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Hold on.
For Christ's sake, will you please come back to bed, Bobby?
Yes, all right, I'm coming back. Sorry about that.
Pardon?
Anyway, look here, now you've left Radio 4 to do a new series on Radio 1, haven't you?
That's correct, Mr. Controller, sir. Yes, I have, yes.
Radio 4. Now, that's a bunch of bohemian layabouts, if you ask me. Richard Baker, that frightful woman, what's her name? Marlene
Pease, you mean?
That's she, poor girl. Sorry to hear that.
No.
I didn't know. Anyway,
no.
We don't want any of that stuffy nonsense on Radio 1. Give me some dangerous radio. Do you hear me?
Dangerous radio. Dangerous radio. What do you mean, a radio with the back off and the live wire hanging down into the bath, sir? That sort of thing?
No. I mean challenging, vital, filthy, downright disgusting, offensive, dangerous radio. That's your brief?
Yeah.
Dangerous radio. Am I coming across you on that one?
Yes, sir, you are, yes.
Good man. I like the cut of your jib.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah. Yes?
There was one other thing, Smith.
Lewis Smith, sir.
Lewis Smith, yes. Just make sure there's nothing libelous, risque, obscene, or political over the next 30 minutes. Keep it clean, safe and wholesome, fit for all the family. Got to think of the youth of today, so nothing dangerous, okay? Is that clear?
Nothing dangerous. You want a half an hour of dangerous radio that's not at all dangerous. I'll do my best, sir. I will do my best.
Good show, Smith.
Thank you. Lewis Smith, sir.
Lewis Smith, that's right. Yeah. You sound like a corporation man through and through.
Thank you.
Why not start it off with one of those Jive Mother songs? You know, lay a jig on the teenagers.
Jig.
Mustache now, off to snort a line of snow with the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Really, sir? I always snort bitumen powders myself. You don't get high, but you don't get colds or flu symptoms either. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, well, if I had a sense of humour, I'd understand that. Oh. Anyway, must fly. Cheerio.
Cheerio. Cripes, I'd better do what Sir says, otherwise he'll give me a good ragging. I'd better be all modern and hip and make my voice go deep.
Come on, everybody, on Radio 1. Clap your hands. Are you feeling all right?
Yes, thank you.
I said, are you feeling all right?
Mustn't grumble.
Are you feeling bad?
Well, not too bad, but the wife's been in hospital with women's trouble.
Get down. You're looking good.
Thank you, it's the cardigan. It's crinoline from the catalogue.
I want to sing a song, and it goes like this.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, Christ. Oh, no, I've ruptured myself singing scat. I'm falling apart. Everything's gone. I'm getting too old for this Radio 1. Stop it. Oh no, I'm going home. Taxi!
Where to, Governor? To my luxury penthouse flat in York, please.
Oh, really? It sounds like a wacky place where anything can happen in the next half hour and probably will. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. I live there with my concierge, Mrs. Tribbley.
Yeah.
And my whippet and a variety of other
things. Yeah, well, that's a baby. But am I correct in thinking that you're using this taxi ride as a narrative device merely to set the scene and introduce yourself to new listeners?
Spot on.
Yeah. All right. Well, Fred, that's double time on the meter.
What?
If you're carrying a narrative device, I'm sorry, it's double time. Oh. By the way, do you mind if I turn my radio on?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Thanks. You're a sexy radio. I'm going to put my tongue down your throat, radio. Let's do a bit of mid-air refueling.
Oh,
I want to dress you up in flimsy nighty radio, and I want to suck.
Oh, by the way, sir, I used to be in show business myself.
I'm not interested. Just drive me, you working class yobbo.
Fair enough. Yeah, I used to be a singer, you know. My rendition of the Big Horse Song used to bring the house down.
Really?
Do you know the Big Horse Song at all, sir?
Piss off.
Fair enough. Yeah, the Big Horse Song. It goes like this.
Maybe it's a big horse, I'm a Londoner, that I like London. I'll tell you what, I can't stand those darkies, Governor.
Really?
Next stop, York, all right?
May it is your mama come to
Oh, it's Dr. Dreyfus. Good morning, Dr. Dreyfus.
Don't give me this good morning. What?
Climbing the stairs back to my flat, I noticed Dr. Dreyfus, Britain's only Jewish one-fingered gynecologist in the corridor. Typical. He's standing outside his front door cooking his dinner through his letterbox with the consummate skill and artistry one expects from a man expert in the field of poking about inside ladies' furry hoops where diseased tummy bananas may have been.
Should you?
I see that you're cooking your dinner through your letterbox with all the consummate skill and artistry one expects from a man expert in the field of poking...
My life already, the opening is too small that I have to perform a cesarean on my own letterbox, just to open a can of Gnish in the kitchen, I ask you.
Dr. Dreyfus, I have a hunch.
Did a good tailor, it won't show.
No, you don't understand. I've got this...
I have a hunch that he'd like some breakfast to my flat. To move the scene to my flat, I prepare a kosher tape wind, but immediately he snips off a second from the end. How very like the man.
Oh, no.
Ow!
Oh, no.
What is the problem?
Mrs. Tribbley's fitted a chain to the door.
So I shall pull. No problem.
That's better. Come through.
There you are, Mr. Dreyfus. Just come through here. I'll switch on the radio.
Dr. Dreyfus already.
Now, how would you like your kippers?
The kippers? Yummed.
Right. Two yum kippers coming up. Do you want a cigarette?
Cigarette? Got filter tip for me. Anyway, ask me what sort of day I've had.
What sort of day have you had?
Don't ask. Have I suffered? have I suffered.
Oh dear,
my son Moshe, it was his 20th birthday yesterday. 4 years ago he came to me, he said, Father, it is my 16th birthday. He said, what will you give me? I said, son, what do you want? Do you want a gold watch, a Chevrolet car, cardboard cut out of Marilyn Monroe? What do you want? He said, Father, I want a woman. I said, you want a woman? I said, son, can your wrinkle touch your bottom? He said, no, Father. I said, so go away. He spent a year putting his tinkle through a mangle, and next year when he was 17, he came to me and said, Father, it is my 17th birthday, what will you get me? I said, son, you want a gold watch, a Roland Rat t-shirt, a Chevrolet maybe, a Rolls Royce car, Diamond ring? He said, Father, I want a woman. I said, son, you want a woman? Can your wrinkle touch your bottom? He said, no, Father. I said, so go away. This went on, I tell you, for 3 more years of the wrinkle going, so don't give me none of this mangle wrinkle stuff.
Mangle.
Yesterday it was a different story. Father, he said, it is my 20th birthday.
No.
What will you give me? I said, you want a Chevrolet car, complete set of jumper plugs from Halfrod's already, a bazooka jaw secret side and ring, divan bed maybe, stereo speakers fitted in the side, retail. He said, Father, I want a woman. I said, son, you want a woman? Can your wrinkle touch your bottom? He looked at me proudly. He said, yes, Father. He said, my wrinkle can touch my bottom. I told him straight, so who needs a woman?
Kids, eh?
Don't talk to me, kids.
I don't talk to you, kids.
Risibility is down to 10 yards, Captain.
I know, Bosun. I was warned risibility was going to be poor on this show, but I never for one...
May I say, Captain, in a cheery, bluff, chirpy, cockney, warm-hearted, Sam Kidd, B-movie, third-rate actor sort of a way, that even if we found ourselves with no risibility at all, the men are behind you, sir.
Aye, aye. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. But there's only one thing for it. You'll have to be risible, Bosun. You're the man.
Aye, Captain. Right, well, here goes. How many policemen does it take to crack open an egg?
No. I don't know, Bosun. How many policemen does it take to crack open an egg?
None, sir. And anyway, the egg slipped and fell down the stairs by itself of its own accord. Got it?
No.
It's a joke, sir. Brutality. Police brutality.
Oh, dear. Risibility is down to 5 yards. Do that thing you do with my timbers, Bosun.
What? Do you want them shivered, sir?
That fighting talk, you hunk of manhood, with your silk panties and your feminine towels and your ballet shoes, you should be fully blocked, you hear me?
Not in public.
You should not be fully blocked.
Later, Dr. Dreyfuss takes his leave and I decide to switch on the news.
Switch on the television news, will you, Mrs. Tribbley, please? I like that Martin Lewis. He reminds me of that dog on Esther Ransom's programme. I'd like to put my hand underneath his chin and make him go sausages, but I'm afraid it's not possible.
Good evening. Here is the news. A very famous actor died today after a courageous fight against cancer. Bibble Bobble.
Why is it always a courageous fight?
Bibble. Tributes have been flooding in from Bibble Blubble.
And why do tributes always flood in? Why?
All right. Well, if it's the truth you want, here is the truthful news. Some Ponzi actor kicked the bucket today after putting up no fight at all. Perhaps if he'd tried a bit harder, he'd still be alive. Tributes have trickled in. There have been only two, and one of those was from his mum. It's bleeding pathetic.
I hope she was disabled. I revel in the misfortune of others, especially disabled people, always down their DHSS for handouts. They should take away those wheelchair ramps if they want money so bad. Let's see them crawl up the stairs. Let's see them crawl. Frankly, I'm not without disability myself, but I've got my pride. I went down to the DHSS and was offered multiple sclerosis, but I insisted I only wanted singular sclerosis. I'm not one to suck off the state, although I have to admit Christine Keeler and I got halfway through the cabinet before my teeth gave in. I know what that'll be. That'll be the phone. Hello?
Oh, hello. What's that you say? You want me to do a voiceover for a television ad? Oh, well, that's...
It's the studio asking me to do a voiceover for an ad.
It's worth £2,000?
I'm told it's worth £2,000.
And what's that you say? Be there at 10:30?
I'm told to go to Wardour Street at 10:30.
Hold on me. What? I didn't say where it was yet.
I beg my pardon, me. I was reading ahead of the script. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, quite. Well, some voiceover man you are. That's why I'm getting £2,000. And you get £10 from the BBC because you're crap.
Yeah, but I can talk butch. Listen, try new laryngitis of the throat for men. Probably the finest tracheal infection in the world. What do you think
about that? All right. Shut your mouth.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, thank you very much. I'll be there first thing tomorrow. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Next morning in the studio.
Okay, love, let's go for a take. Super.
Hold on, love. I've just got to evacuate my vowels first. Is that all right?
Then you go ahead, darling.
It's always the same first thing after a black coffee. Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry.
I loosen up my vowels. Tricky because until this morning I haven't had a vowel movement for 3 days. Being a professional voiceover man, I only ever endorse products which I have personally tried and the efficacy of which I can guarantee.
Kitty Tins cat food is wonders for your pussy. I've eaten 20 bowls this week so far. To date I've been mounted by next door Tom, a cheetah and a jaguar.
I'm not a vet, but by wearing this white coat and stethoscope around my neck, you'll probably be fooled into thinking I am a vet, which suits me fine, because I'm getting a lot of money for this ad. Yes, I've eaten...
Okay, stand by for a take, Victor Love. We're just rolling back the tape.
All right, could you give me a cue, please? Give me a cue.
All right, we'll give you a cue. Hold on.
All right, just on the light. Tell me when to go.
Meanwhile, in studio, I go for a take of my latest masterpiece.
Go for it, darling, go.
I go for it every time.
She does. She goes for it every time.
I do.
You go for it too, don't you? You go for it every time.
I do.
Yes,
I do.
That's right. In tests, 8 out of 10 lesbian feminists who expressed a preference about their lady partners said they preferred whiskers.
That's right. Yeah. Preferably sticking out of a sodding great mole on my face. Yeah. It's a real turn on. Yeah.
I'm angry about it being a
whiskers for feminists. Suddenly, and for some inexplicable reason, I find myself splitting into voyeurs. I find myself splitting into
four people and me. Become the King Singers. Ooh.
Which is particularly disturbing because I think one of them may be gay.
Do you want a crisp, Mrs. Tribbley? Give one to the Whippet. What is this on the video?
Later I find myself feet up munching away at a packet of crisps and watching the television.
Look, I mean, this is not the Mary Mungo Image programme as I remember. Is it the right video? Look, it says on the box, Sacrum Boys. Anyway, oh, it's coming off. It really is coming off. What I need is a link. I know I said I'd kick the habit, but just one after dinner can't hurt, Mrs. Tribbley. To the first link of the day is always the best. Just one. I can give it up any time I want. I can really give it up.
The link serves to change scene into my bedroom, where I get an irresistible urge to look inside my wardrobe, just in case there's a famous TV personality there.
Hello, boys!
My man! Woo!
Get on down, you mother jive mothers!
It's Take Six, a group of six black gentlemen from America who live across the corridor from Mr. Dreyfuss. They claim to have popped in to borrow a cup of sugar, but I suspect they've been listening to this program and are making an unscripted appearance in a bid for stardom.
Well, what? Hey, you want a song, man? You want a song?
All right, yeah, but keep the noise down. Mrs. Tribble is doing a stamp collecting list, or she doesn't go a bomb on a load of tuners caterwauling while she's licking her hinges. She does not.
All righty, let's do a bit of River Jordan.
River Jordan?
River noises, yeah.
River noises.
River noises.
To see my Lord get away, get away, Jordan.
I want you to get away,
get away, get away, Jordan.
Get away,
Jordan. I want to cross over to see my Lord.
You know that I looked over Jordan, and what did I see?
I want to cross over to see my Lord.
I saw a band of angels coming after me.
I want to cross over to see my Lord. Get away, get away, Jordan.
I want you to get away.
Get away, Jordan.
Get away,
Jordan. I want to cross over to see my Lord.
You know that I went down to the river, didn't go for to stay.
I want to cross over to see my Lord.
You know my soul got a heavy stay all day.
I want to cross over to see my Lord. Get away, get away, Jordan. Get away, oh, chilly Jordan, get away. Get away, Jordan. I wanna cross, over to see my Lord. Get away. Chilly Jordan, get away. Get back, Jordan, no. I want to cross over to see my Lord.
Yes, a little thing that you wanted goodbye.
I want to cross over to see my Lord.
You know that the rich would live and the poor would just
drop. I want to cross over to see my Lord. Get away.
Get away.
Get away. Oh, chilly Jordan, get away. Get back, Jordan, no. I want to cross the Jordan just to see him face to face, cause I believe he'll part the waters if I have a little faith.
He's gonna keep me from being on the other side.
So I'm praying, to cross over to see my Lord. Yes, I want to cross over to see my Savior face to face. Yes, I gotta get to the other side. Get back.
Get away back.
No, don't clap. Yeah. Don't clap. Don't encourage them. Yeah. Stop it. Stop. I can't say I care for those religious sentiments myself. After all, if there is a caring, intelligent God governing the universe, why did he give very ugly people a sex drive? See, you can't answer that, can you? You can't answer it. Go on. Get out. Go on. Get out.
Oh, dear, Captain. Visibility's down to 4 yards, Captain. Things is getting worse. I think you better take command of the comedy, Captain.
Radio, take command of the comedy. Listen to this, men. I say, men, that sounds like Stranger on the Shore, and it seems to be coming from the seabed.
Wizard Captain.
Acker Welk.
Oh, I see, sir. That's highly amusing, because the word Welk sounds exactly like Bilk, except for the first bit.
Oh, dear, it looks like the ratings are going to go down on me, that's
well,
for sure.
Anything's possible on this ship, sir.
Enough of that filth.
Oh, visibility's improving, Captain. Visibility's improving.
Suddenly, I come over all peckish and decide to buy a takeaway. I opt for Chinese food, even though half an hour later, I always feel hungry again. Unlike when I order carry-out food from Hungary, half an hour later, I always feel Chinese. It is called inversion, ladies and gentlemen. They call it comedy. Well, everybody but the critics.
Hello, Mr. Lao Tzu. What's cooking?
Oh, cooking is where you take food and you heat it up, you know?
Cooking is when you take food and heat it up.
I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about.
Our local Chinese chef, Mr. Lao Tzu, fancies himself as a bit of a Taoist philosopher. Whenever I pop in for a portion of 42, he's always ready with an inscrutable oriental aphorism.
That's the beauty of this place, really. Oh, yeah, and some of your delicious prawn balls floating in a sauce so rich in red chemical dyes that if you threw your used container into the Pacific Ocean, it would turn it bright pink. To put it in Shakespearean terms, Mr. Lao Tzu, it would rather the multitudinous sea incarnadine. In short, your food stinks. In long, your food stinks.
I thought about that, but I'll tell you a very funny thing, you know. A very funny thing indeed.
Tell me a very funny thing, yes.
Of course, when it's time you're changing your bedclothes, you know.
When it's time to change your bedclothes, yes.
And you remove your pillowcase from your pillow.
And you remove your pillowcase from your pillow, yes.
Your pillowcase is still not clean and filthy, you know.
Yes, and your pillowcase is still clean, yes.
Yeah, but underneath your pillow, you know.
Yeah, but underneath your pillowcase, yes.
Underneath your pillow, there's always big brown stain and mark, you know.
There's always a big brown stain. That's true.
That's true, but where big brown stain comes from? Not from your nose or from your ear or mouth, you know.
That's right, it doesn't come from your nose or ears or mouth, that brown brown stain, does it?
And why does it stain a pillow case of big brown stain?
Oh, that's right. And what? Why doesn't whatever the brown fluid is stain the pillowcase, Mr. Lanzu? Once again, you have set my head in a spin with your fancy quasi-sinological mysticism. Is the fried rice inside?
You got fried rice with prawn, but I got honoured to appear on your programme, another racial stereotype, and boost your rating, you know?
I'm very pleased that you're honoured to appear on my show as yet another racial stereotype and boost my ratings, Mr. Lanzu. Be seeing you!
You're on the fourth! You pay for it!
My God, the food's crap in that place. Mrs. Tripley, hand me the phone. I feel like striking out.
Hello?
Oh, hello. I was after to speaking to a Mr. H.A. Rods.
What? My company is Harrods, not H.A. Rods. It's Harrods, one word. The man at the top, the owner is Mr. R. Fired, not Mr. H.A. Rods.
Well, what's he changed his name for, then?
He never changed his name.
But you can't complain to somebody called Fired when his name is Mr. Rods at the front of the shop. I'm sorry, look, I understand, sir. Anyway. There are two complaints.
Owner,
I have two complaints to make.
Yes.
I understand you have a delicatessen department purveying fine smoked fish and gently spiced and herb pate de foie gras and caviar.
Correct.
That is the delicatessen.
Yes.
I want sheep's testicles.
Yes.
Is there an indelicatessen department?
I don't know. As far as I know, we don't sell it. Okay, can you hold on a moment?
It gives me no great pleasure.
Yes, and
thank you.
Actually, the owner is Mr. R. Fayed.
What, of the indelicatessen department?
Of the store.
It's Rods.
It's Rods? Who is Rods?
All I want is to make a can you put me through to your vacuum? Could you put me through to your vacuum cleaner department, please? That's why I'm phoning.
I tried to
say that from the beginning. Hello?
Small electricals.
Oh, are you the gentleman what served me, a friend of mine yesterday, with a vacuum cleaner?
The Electrolux representative is just coming.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Sorry?
Thank you.
Hello, Small Electrics, can I help?
Right, yeah. Actually, it was a gentleman who served me yesterday. I specifically asked for a gentleman there. But can you answer my query?
I might be able to. I'll try.
Right. My friend went there yesterday, and he said he required a vacuum cleaner for a special purpose.
Yeah.
We said we didn't want it for domestic use. And it's completely failed in its required assignation. Apropos, it can't do this specialist job that my friend required of it.
The specialist job. What did you want it to do? Sorry.
Well, I want it to sack the dust off sausages.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, I know these cleaners are for the home.
Ah, well, he said that it was because what we do is we make sausages. For domestic.
Yeah.
Use.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to get the dust off.
Yes.
He just ripped the top of the. It ripped it off.
What ripped it off? Sorry, I'm not...
The nozzle.
Yes. It ripped it off.
Could you get me something sterilised? Could you get my friend something sterilised?
And you bought a vacuum cleaner?
I think that's the tenor of my argument.
I am absolutely staggered.
Not as surprised as I was my friend was this morning when he used it.
Yes, because it is a vacuum cleaner that is designed for the home.
You don't want something that's covered in filth. It'll clot up the end of the skin.
That's right. That is why it is not suitable.
No, well, that's why I wanted something with a rubber cleanable... He wants something with a rubber cleanable unit.
Yes.
So you can stick it on the thing, put it to gentle sucking, and then you do his business.
Is it small? Little old...
I beg your pardon?
Is it small? Is it a little small?
Oh, sorry, the vacuum cleaner.
Is it a small, little oval-top compact unit? Have you seen it?
Hold on, I'll just ask him.
Is it a big black... I don't care what you say about it. The woman says she wants to know. Don't you call me Mr. Maggot, you cow. Anyway, she knows perfectly well what we're doing with it.
Oh, God.
She knows very well. And you can go back to your bleeding mother. The last time I buy you tights. Go back to your bloody mother.
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry about that. Could we make our own sausages?
Yes.
Ever since I heard the phrase walls have ears, I wouldn't touch their sausages with a barge pole.
I think what I better do is take your name and number and have a word with the buyer about this.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather not give my friend's number or name.
Well,
could I just come in and could we do a cash transaction? The nozzle's not damaged at all. I've cleaned it. I don't want to turn nasty, but when you go in and ask something private, then you don't you do not expect your name to be put on a computer. I know what the police do these days. Thank you. I'll pop in then.
Yes, fine.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
heard this type of music, ha 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 ha. It is called process music, ha 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 ha. There's no need to learn composing, simply fail a music CSE. Michael Nyman, Philip Glass both write this crap which rarely changes. But the thing I really hate is when it starts to arpeggiate. Or move from the minor into the major. Laughing all the way to the bank, ha 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 ha, he. They're laughing all the way to the bank, he ha ha.
That was Victor Louis Smith, who did the music and the voices and wrote the script with Paul Sparks, who was just happy to be alive. Victor Louis Smith was produced by Victor Louis Smith, which sounds like incest to me.